Good morning. My name is Zeke. I'm here with Rick Edelstein.
What happened to Howdy?
You don't like Howdy.
Okay. One more time.
Good day. I'm here with Rick Edelstein, who is CEO and lead developer of Cicada Security Technology. We're here for, I think this is the third episode of the Cicada Security Podcast. What are we talking about today?
Today we're going to be talking about Matt Honan's password security with his little incident with Apple and Amazon.
Sounds good. There, although I think it was more not his password, it was Apple's password security.
It was Apple's password security, and it was the protection of his password and identity, which was exploited by using a hack by getting certain credentials from Amazon, which were then used to authenticate him with the tech support or the people at Apple, which in turn allowed the perpetrators to create their own password and basically mess with Matt's life.
It's a social engineering as opposed to actual...
Exactly, it is social engineering in its purest form. This whole incident is actually kind of interesting because, I mean, had it not happened to a journalist, we would just have one angry consumer and who's seething over it. But the fact that it was Matt Honan who this happened to, he of course made this into an article and something that became very, very public.
Who actually is he?
Matt Honan is...
If I remember, he's a Wired reporter, right?
That's right, yeah. So he's a reporter with Wired.
A tech reporter for Wired. So somebody who's not like he's not like an arts reporter, or he's pretty
no.
savvy when it comes to...
Exactly.
Why do you think they picked on him?
I think, you know, it was basically, he was a target. It's like, you know, going after Bruce Schneier or Brian Krebs. And, you know, the more public you are, the more people want to take a swing at you. I mean, if somebody were, you know, if a hacker to wake up in the morning and say, I just want to mess with somebody, they're not going to pick Chris Zeke Hand. They're going to find somebody who is, you know, maybe somebody who has a mouth about security or talks about security. And they're going to basically say, you know, let me show you your place in society type thing. It's being boastful, right?
Okay.
So poor Matt gets his account hacked and all hell breaks loose. And they're, you know, everybody starts talking about this vulnerability in the Amazon Apple model and how, you know, the whole process is wrong and doesn't function. And from this, of course, we started seeing a flurry of comments about this from everybody who has a voice on it, me included. But what's interesting is, of all the stuff that came out about this, you know, we start seeing on Quora people asking why do banks insist on using a mother's maiden name as a security question, and we see others popping up with other questions about how, you know, the existing model is broken, and you know, the list goes on. We see from one to the next, but the one thing that actually came out of this that was actually the most interesting of all the articles, I posted it on our Facebook page and we'll put it on our blog. But there was a site called blog.hellersearch.com, and it's a woman named Martha Heller who posted an article by guest blogger Ken Grady, who's a CIO of New England BioLabs. And Ken Grady poses a very interesting point in his blog post, which is, he says, you know, typically, you know, most password policies require that the passwords change twice a year. Minimum 7 characters, couldn't contain your first name or last name. When changing it, you couldn't repeat any of your last 3 passwords. And it has to contain at least 3 of the following 4, an uppercase character, a lowercase letter, a number, and a special character. And he goes on to say that this is absolutely stupid. And he says that changing the password every so often does absolutely nothing to make you more secure. And what his premise is here is actually quite interesting, because he then demonstrates using mathematical examples of how this is incorrect. And his posture is if somebody's going to hack your password, it's either using, you know, random sequences or a dictionary to try and guess what the password is. But he contends that even if you were to change it like every day, it would still be possible that somebody would ultimately be able to hack it using this process. So his attitude is the smaller the password, regardless of what's in it, the higher probability it's going to be guessed.
Just brute force.
Exactly. So he says that, you know, his thought is that creating passwords of phrases with 20, 30 characters in it, you know, you ask somebody to create a 20, 30 character password, most people are going to go, you know, they're going to forget this, or they're going to write it down on the Post-it. However, if the password happens to be a phrase, and he, you know, some of the examples he gave here were things like, I have a really bright children, Tom Brady is super dreamy, watch out for terrapins, or I am methylation sensitive. And so, you know, things such as this, he says, have a lower probability of being guessed because the complexity, based on the complexity of the equation. And I think that, you know, this was one of the better
things. That XYD cartoon that he uses is quite effective in terms of explaining how simple it is and how difficult it is.
Exactly. And yeah, that's why, I mean, he basically has here, he says, read this part if you like math, and read this part if you only like math when it comes with pictures. And, you know, he goes through these explanations. And, you know, it's a short blog post, but it's highly effective in explaining mm-hmm. his situation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I responded to this, and my comment was that, you know, this is, you know, in terms of password effectiveness, this is solid logic, and I contended that, you know, as an innovator of security solutions, that one of the things that we felt was also of value was when you tie the username and password to the hardware-based identity, and of course that's, you know, my self-serving comment, mm-hmm. but it's fact.
Yeah, I mean, two-stage authentication is way better than one stage.
But even what we're getting at here is, well, the second stage could be a biometric, or the second stage could be a hardware ID, such as what we're doing with the Cicada. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's even if somebody were to hack the password, it still means that they're not going to get access unless they have that actual physical device, or they have that particular biometric element. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can Google a whole zillion different ways to basically theories on how to replicate irises or fingerprints or whatever. But, you know, as I said before, one of the first things I used to instruct when I was instructing at York on information security was that, you know, the effort that somebody's willing to make to access your information is proportional to the value of that information. So somebody is not going to go with military strength effort to hack your piece, your laptop, mm-hmm. right? But, you know,
unless I happen to be a general in the U.S. Army.
Right, with tactical information that was strategic to some campaign. Exactly. Or any other army, for that matter. And that's really it. That's mm-hmm. All I really wanted to chat about today.
No problem. There, how many passwords do you have?
You know, it's funny, I use probably close to about 12 to 15 different passwords.
Okay.
And, you know, the way I use my passwords is by context. So there'll be stuff that I use for personal accounts, stuff that I use for sites which I think are shady. There's also, I associate it with different email accounts. I've created all sorts of, I have different domains that I have email accounts under. So, you know, there's, of course, I use like Hotmail for my stuff that, you know, I know that I'm going to get spam on. And I use Yahoo for, you know, people who are, for sites that I want to track their marketing presence. You know, it's all.
Are any of your passwords the long phrases and stuff like that?
I have passwords that are well over 17 characters.
Okay.
And not necessarily phrases.
Okay.
Yeah. So
17
characters 17 and not no words in it.
It's the way that my passwords work. It's sort of thing where it's all just a matter of memorizing the keystrokes. And so if I ever go to a Dvorak keyboard, I'm screwed.
Right.
Because all the keys move over and I have no idea what I'm pushing.
Well, you know, one of the interesting theories about passwords that was proposed years ago was geometric layout. And so, you know, you can do like an X across your keyboard mm-hmm. or, you know, up and over, a variety of different movements. And, you know, the argument there was that these were also hackable, but not as easy as Common Word.
Yes. Now, the key thing to me is keeping it away from common words and relatively short. Anytime you're sort of long and not common words, you're pretty much good to go.
Okay. Right.
And all of your devices have two-stage authentication as well, since you do have the Cicada?
Well, I use the two-stage authentication in my computers, and I use the Cicada feature, yes, for that.
Cool.
Yeah. That's unfortunately, that's beta, so it's not public yet, but in our upcoming release, it should be in there.
Cool.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And then also I wanted to talk about, because didn't you post up that you had had your first, alert?
Oh, yes. That is a historic moment in the world of Cicada. Mm-hmm. As you know, we've set up a monitoring and management server for the Cicada, which has a couple of different interfaces. We have consumer as well as enterprise. Enterprise allows the administrator to manage large groups of users, define policies, and push those policies to their stations. Doesn't mean they have remote control of the station. It just means that they're pushing a library of trigger features and action features. The consumer version, the user will set up their own alerts, so it can go to their phone by SMS or email. So what will happen is that we have two levels. There's the red level, which means that the system triggered off while connected to a network, and the server received an alert from the station that a positive trigger action has occurred. In a yellow level, it means that the server has either lost contact with the monitored station, which could be one of two things. It could either be a network failure, it could be the system powered down, or it could be that somebody had attempted to steal the device but broke the network connection before the trigger was sent. So even in the event where the device is monitored by a Cicada and the network connection is broken, we still send an alert to the user. And basically the yellow level alert, which is informational, says, hey, something's happened with your computer, you may want to take a look with it, and then the other alert, which is red, which is, we've just received a trigger, you might want to check your computer right now. And so the first alert was issued this week. It was by our developer who's doing the rebuild of our client, and he sent us over the email, says, hey, by the way, here's your very first alert.
Well, was it yellow? Was it red?
It was a red level alert. Okay. And it identified, we put it up on the Facebook page, but it was a motion-based based alert, and it was delivered within seconds of the event occurring,
okay,
which was absolutely brilliant. So we know the model functions.
Very cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You got a date and time?
It's in the actual, I'd have to take a look at the blog here. I can tell you what it was. Our first alert happened at August 11th at 9:39 p.m. and 38 seconds Eastern Daylight Time.
Okay. Very cool.
Thank you.
Beyond that, that's it?
That's all we're talking about today.
Okay. So this has been Chris Zekand along with Rick Edelstein for the Cicada Security Podcast.